Welcome back, everybody. You're listening Across the Border. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition. And in this segment, we are going through when the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. Now, last time we got to chapter 3, which is entitled The Final Edit. And the theme of this book being the rapture play will begin. And so we comment here on the final edit before the play begins. Let's jump into chapter 3. The end time Antichrist scenario begins with the strong covenant, which will initiate the 7-year great tribulation of the juxtaposed 70th week of Daniel. The doctrine states that this man of sin, who brings this treaty to build the Jewish temple, will not be revealed until an ambiguous restrainer is taken out of the way. This ambiguous restrainer is believed to be the Holy Ghost by the futurist. However, this belief can only be pure speculation. The leading role of our play. So when this 7-year covenant agreement treaty is made between some prominent person and Israel, and whoever else needs to be involved, the pre-tribulation rapture is supposed to immediately take place, and great tribulation will ensue because the Holy Spirit is also supposed to be removed from the earth, as well as all true Christians. Since about the time that Jimmy Carter was the president of the U.S., beginning with the Camp David Accords in 1978, it seems that it has fallen to U.S. presidents to broker peace deals in the Mideast. So it would seem likely that it will be a U.S. president that will play the part of the pseudo-antichrist character who will broker a deal for the building of a third temple. Just who will step up to bring an agreement, which includes the building of the temple? Who wants to be pegged as the Antichrist figure of the popular but fictional prophecy? Early in his presidency, I personally thought that Barack Obama was an easy candidate. But here we are, several days after the election of Donald Trump, and the following article appears in the Breaking Israel News. Sanhedrin asks Putin and Trump to build a third temple in Jerusalem. The nascent Sanhedrin is calling on Russian President Vladimir Putin and U.S. President-elect Donald Trump to join forces and fulfill their biblically mandated roles by rebuilding the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. The article likens the pair of leaders to Cyrus the Great, who helped Israel rebuild the temple after the Babylonian desolation, but because of positive statements they have made in the past about Israel and Jerusalem. We are poised to rebuild the temple. The political conditions today, in which the two most important national leaders in the world support the Jewish right to Jerusalem as their spiritual inheritance, is historically unprecedented, Rabbi Weiss told Breaking Israel News. Only time will tell if it will be a U.S. president that will be credited with the peace process that is responsible for bringing about the necessary treaty or agreement to make the building of a third Jewish temple on the Temple Mount a reality. But when it does happen, that's when the fun begins. Any prominent statesman could be put up for the role. But this is one role I can't imagine anyone is eager to volunteer for. However, the futurist interpretation of the Daniel 70th week and the several Thessalonian combined text on this is so ambiguous that however things work out, it is flexible enough to accommodate. Let the show begin. Entertain, if you will, the scene as the curtain opens. So it begins, and no one is raptured away. How long will the adherents wait before they give up on the pre-tribulation rapture? The groundbreaking for the temple takes place, and the construction is moving along smoothly. 3 months pass. 6 months pass. A year. It has become all too obvious that the pre-tribulation rapture was the wrong one of the three multiple choices. But that is the beauty of this interpretation. There are two more choices. However, this first failure or non-event exposes the futurist restrainer doctrine fallacy. For the Holy Spirit cannot exit the earth if Christians are still present. But the treaty has been signed and the Antichrist has been revealed. Or was he? Remember, the man of sin cannot be revealed until the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way. So not only is the pre-tribulation rapture wrong, but the restrainer Holy Spirit assumption is also wrong. Some may even be comforted by the fact that neither of these assumptions were ever explicitly stated in the scripture. That's why they are assumptions. Nevertheless, many will just move along to accept the mid-tribulation, pre-wrath option instead, regardless of the fact that these are also based upon the same type of shallow assumptions and conjecture. But there are lingering questions. Since the Holy Spirit remains, who is the Antichrist? Since he could not be revealed yet, who made the strong covenant that kicked off the tribulation? Can the mid-tribulation position be a real option if the pre-tribulation fails to materialize? For all of those who hold to a mid- or post-tribulation position, this conundrum should be resolved well in advance of the arrival of their expected 7-year Great Tribulation period. Nonetheless, we can easily imagine a series of events like the following taking place in the near future. Dateline 2021. With the intervention of the most popular pope in recent history into the peace process, the U.S. president took credit for the agreement hammered out by his team of negotiators between the State of Israel, the Palestinian Authority, and the Jerusalem Islamic Waqf in the Mideast peace process. Thereafter, it was announced by the Temple Institute that groundbreaking for the third Jewish temple would commence within 90 days. The actual architectural drawings had already just been completed, and it was believed that the sacrifice could begin in time for the commencement of Passover 5785, according to the Jewish calendar, 4 short years away. The Islamic protest throughout the Mideast was vocal, violent, expected, and well covered. But the Palestinians would finally get the autonomy they desired in the West Bank Gaza Strip. The Jewish protests, based upon the prevailing Orthodox thought that the temple must be built on the very spot occupied by the Dome of the Rock, and then only after the Messiah appeared, were just as vocal but lacked mainstream attention due to the absence of violence. Pastor John Hoagie thundered from his televised megachurch pulpit, "Are you ready to be raptured? We will fly away, oh glory, as soon as the agreement takes effect." Which, of course, made sense because the treaty was signed and they were not gone yet. The pastor proclaimed it now undeniable, the identification of the current U.S. president as the Bible-predicted end-time Antichrist. The temple cornerstone, which had been prepared several years in advance, was placed symbolically in a groundbreaking ceremony 96 days later. Still, no rapture of true believers took place. Notorious debates raged since the day the agreement was signed. Millions of disappointed evangelicals were now ready to embrace the mid-tribulation position. Some even moved to the post-trib position. Also become very vocal and drawing many converts was the Universal Church that holds to a no-rapture position, instead teaching that the rapture was part of the millenarian heresy. When none of the three raptures materialize, all those disappointed will be welcomed to the true church with open arms, could be easily proclaimed by the popular Catholic evangelist Mark Mulledy. Most evangelicals took a wait-and-see position because the mid-trib place was so neatly and beforehand prepared for them. The agreement called for the Temple Mount to be expanded and partitioned between the three great Abrahamic faiths and completed over the next 7 years. The Dome of the Rock would remain, according to the New Jewish Interfaith Initiative. The God's Holy Mountain Vision Project hoped to diffuse religious strife by showing that Jews, end of days vision, could harmoniously accommodate Islam's present architectural hegemony on the Temple Mount. This vision of religious shrines in peaceful proximity can transform the Temple Mount from a place of contention to its original sacred role as a place of worship shared by Jews, Muslims, and Christians, said Yoav Frankel, director of the initiative. Frankel considers the scenario that the temple be rebuilt on the current or an extended Temple Mount in peaceful proximity to the dome and other houses of prayer, such as the Aqsa Mosque and nearby Christian shrines. There would also be room for a Christian cathedral on a northward extension. True to form, megapastor John Hoagie released his newest book, Rapture Delayed, The Mercy of God, before the year was out. This would be an even bigger bestseller than his last multi-million seller during the Blood Moon Mania of 2014. In the pages of this book, you would learn why God had delayed the rapture to the mid-tribulation position. Of course, backed by as many biblical references as his prior pre-tribulation position. You could also find overt hints that God may wait further to the post-tribulation position, and that no matter which position was God's final decision, all true believers would go to heaven when they die if they asked Jesus into their hearts. Give your heart to Jesus today, he would say. Albert Roseanne Henderson, a couple in their late 60s, had attended Northside Evangelical Church for more than 30 years, where not a whole lot of time was spent on Bible prophecy until now. Oh yes, they believed in the pre-tribulation rapture ever since the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, was a major part of Bible study back around 1980. The excitement and urgency had long since worn off. What was there to get excited about? Their church, as almost all of the American evangelical world, did not have to worry about such things as dealing with the coming one-world mark monetary system, because they would all simply be pre-wrath raptured away before anything bad happened to them. But with the added heavy weight of current events, it was time to rethink their long-held position. A friend had given them a book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, several years ago, but now it was time to actually read it. They could not forget the haunting title, which had presently become accurately prophetic. Pastor Bob preaches at his own little church on the other side of town. He becomes very excited about everything that happens in Israel, waiting with bated breath to be whisked away at any moment. He has no tolerance for those who question the official view of prophecy accepted by him and the giants of the kingdom of God, such as John Hoagie and Chuck Mistler. Neither does he have the time of day for weak-minded Christians who revere God's law, or, God forbid, won't eat pork. His faith, and consequently the faith of his entire little congregation, was shaking to its core. Bob was seriously considering returning to his roots and the Universal Mother Church, now feeling that he'd been led astray so many years ago by evangelical arguments. He pondered his absolute rage while watching a YouTube video several months ago, "Show Me the Gap, Chuck," or something like that. How anyone could challenge a giant in God's kingdom like Chuck Missler on Prophecy brought him to a rage of four-letter epithets he could not easily forget. But now he avoided mention of the rapture, debate, and failure at all. His sermons were beginning to sound very ecumenical these days. 3 years of mounting protest, violence, sabotage, and continual bomb threats had all but stopped the progress of the God's Holy Mountain vision, most specifically for the Jewish temple on the Temple Mount. The expansion on the north end was progressing nicely, but every attempt to progress beyond the eastward expansion, where the Jewish temple was being built, was met with resistance from every quarter. Islam protested, animal rights protested, environmentalists protested, even Orthodox Jewry protested. No one was happy. The treaty would need to be renegotiated. And behind the scenes, that's exactly what was happening. The Vatican was now playing the major role in the peace process as a voice of reason and sanity. The Temple Mount Cathedral on the north expansion was progressing nicely and well in balance with the stature of the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque combination on the south, also undergoing renovation for the great celebration. The compromise? Jews would settle for a temple-type national synagogue of similar stature on its east expansion. No animal sacrifice would be allowed on the Temple Mount whatsoever, period. Those progressive Jews, which played the major role, now proposed that a sacrifice could satisfy every tenet of Torah law if commenced off-site. Orthodox Jews maintained that Messiah would come and build the temple after removing the Christian and Islamic edifices on the mount. Then the sacrifice would commence. They were content to wait. Appropriate changes for the Temple Mount National Synagogue were already in the works. With the end of the prospect for a Jewish sacrifice, even the Islamic protests died down to an unmentionable murmur. At the same time, evangelical rapture adherents announced that the end of the prospective sacrifice satisfied their interpretation of the Daniel prophecy. "And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease." And it was the middle of their 7-year tribulation period. Months passed and nothing happened. 4 years from the signing of the agreement, the 1260 days, the times time and half a time, 3.5 years had undeniably passed. Still, no mass rapture of true believers took place. Most of the evangelical, the true rapture believers, moved to the only remaining position available for them, the post-tribulation position. There was no other position available as far as they were concerned. Rapture theology had been so completely scrutinized over the last 4 years that the majority of evangelicals had already left it behind, some concluding that the whole 7-year tribulation was not even biblical. The holdouts were scorned and embarrassed so much that it only strengthened their resolve that they would be raptured away at the post-7-year tribulation position. Then the world would see. But because of God's merciful delay, there would be no second chance for those left behind, said John Hoagie. They would surely experience the wrath of God when Jesus suddenly appeared and destroyed all the wicked. The grand opening celebration date of the God's Holy Mountain vision was set, 7 years to the day of the signing of the agreement. Those diehard evangelical rapturists remained firm, but were secretly scared that it would not happen. Those who put off the belief were afraid, but hopeful that it would happen. Finally, the day came. The Vicar of Christ took the podium and proclaimed the beginning of a new era of world peace. A majority of evangelicals who had once vociferously proclaimed the rapture were now drawing attention to the fact that the rapture was always in contention within the ranks. Pre-, mid-, and post-tribulation debates were always the norm. Perhaps evidently the whole rapture idea was mistaken. In this world without end, all the faithful will certainly go to heaven when they die. That is when we will join the resurrection of the dead, were now the comforting words of Pastor John Hoagie. For many of the elect, it was like waking from a dream, a great delusion. The scales had fallen from their eyes. They finally recognized the true biblical and historical Antichrist. He had been seated in plain sight all along. They could not go along. They knew what was coming, and the only escape was in Christ alone to protect them, even if martyrdom was their fate. It was widely preached and well accepted. Few would make it to his return through the tribulation of the days to come. They would now be excluded from the one world mark money system. They could not, would not, participate. The Mark of the Beast inquisitions were growing stronger every year. The black market was an outlawed and dangerous necessity. There were few places of refuge from the long arm of the UN police and relocation forces in the fragmented states of the northern continent. Chaos and disorder was a regional hardship and also their ally, losing their livelihoods and their homes. The true church was on the move, spreading the gospel as they went. Miraculous provision, circumstance, and healing was commonplace with this sojourning church movement. They had truly become the church in the wilderness. We left our home in the middle of the night. The reports were all too common. They would also come for us. I had been a fan of alternative media, so I had plenty of exposure to prepper ideas, but never went all out for the storage food bunker mentality of the extremist bent. I had a different tact. Never let the fuel go below half a tank and head for the hills when bug-out time did arrive. We hooked the small two-horse trailer to the back of our three-quarter-ton pickup. Of course, we brought our two best horses and all the food and comforts we could cram in with us. There would be provisions where we were going. Mountain Home was an 8,500-foot seasonal resort community where there were plenty of empty cabins. We were certainly frightened, but we knew this day was coming. Thus ends our fictional scenario. When the Temple Mount Agreement is announced, many believe they will immediately be raptured away. So rather than being alarmed, they are elated, but soon will discover that they were mistaken. By the end of the play, many of those who trusted the false rapture left behind prophets may be ready to listen to a more historical position on Bible prophecy. The rest of the story will be lived out beyond the 7-year tribulation deception by each and every one of us who live long enough to see it through. You're listening to Cross the Border. We just concluded chapter 4 of the book, When the Third Temple is Built. I hope that got your mind to questioning things and beliefs that have been widely propagated over the last 40 or 50 years, and really only had their genesis as far as the pre-tribulation and 7-year tribulation raptures that began about 1830. You can get a copy of this book, When the Third Temple is Built, by going to my website, that is crosstheborder.org, and click on the free ebook tab there. and follow those instructions, and then leave a comment saying, requesting when the third temple is built, and I will send you a PDF by email. Okay? If you've already read that book and you would like some of the other resources there, well, I only ask you to leave a review at Amazon on whatever book you've already read, and then say, hey, I left a review on such and such, and now I would like to receive this other resource. All of our resources are free. Also, all of these resources are available there for you to buy in pocket book or our regular trade publication editions. So make sure you look for those on the Get the Book tab, or just click on the cover of the several books that you will see at the website. I want to thank you all for listening. Make sure you come back for our next episode in the book on our series, When the Third Temple is Built. May the Almighty bless you as you continue walking in His kingdom day by day.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.